Well, welcome to the Ministry and Me here on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And it's wonderful to have you listening in to this particular show. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster. And as always, it's great to be with you as we come to explore ways in which you can live your ministry and your life in a way that honors God, brings fulfillment to yourself, and brings blessing to others. Today is a special show. I've got a guest with me today. The Reverend Stephen Lottring. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, dear.
It's good to have you with us, and I'm going to ask Stephen just to tell us a bit more about himself in a moment. But just to remind you, the purpose of this show is it's here to encourage us to find ways to be engaged in our ministry, to be creative about it, and I think today's show is going to be a particularly exciting one as we talk about something that a lot of folks have spoken to me about. And that is the emerging church and the emergent conversation. And you don't have to be a pastor or a priest or a duomini to be able to understand this and make an input into this particular program. But it is always a joy to have someone like Stephen with us. Also, just to say, if you want to get hold of me, you can send me an email. The easiest way to do that is to drop an email to digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion at gmail.com. And it's been wonderful to receive the many emails, particularly after last week's program about servanthood. And then also just to say to you, if at any stage during the day or the night you're looking for someone to talk with you or pray with you, you can always phone the Radio Pulpit Counseling Line. And that's a Pretoria number, 012-334-1200. That's 012-334-1200. But let's get into the topic for our conversation today. And so, Stephen, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, Dion. It's great to be with you. It's great to be chatting.
Now, many of you may know that Stephen is actually my pastor. I attend church here at Coronation Avenue Methodist Church in Somerset West. And Stephen is the minister here at this church, and he's particularly insightful on the emerging church movement. But before we get to talk a little bit about that, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, I'm one of the ministers here at Coronation Avenue Methodist. We are part of a team ministry, and that's always great to be able to be a part of a team ministry. It brings its own challenges, but is always a privilege to be able to work with others who bring their own unique gifts and to be able to share those gifts. I'm married with two children, 8 and 4 years old, two little girls, and so always kept busy between family and ministry and the demands of those two, but loving it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, it's a great thing to be able to share one's life with others in the way that you do, and this is a particularly great church. Now, one of the things that a lot of folks have been contacting me about in recent times, and certainly it's been quite a frequent thing in the Christian media, has been the rise of something which is called the emerging church or the emerging conversation. Stephen, tell us a little bit about this. I don't know if you have a definition that you could share with us, or maybe just explain to us what these things are and whether they're the same or different.
I think it's very difficult to give a very clear definition. I think many folk have tried to give definitions to the emerging church, both the critics of the emerging church and those who are part of the conversation. And I think one of the reasons why it's difficult to give a very clear definition is because it's really a conversation. I don't think there is any such thing as emerging church as such, as much as it is a conversation of like-minded people who are sensing God at work in our world, and seeking to be true to how we see God moving in our world, and realizing that that the church has many flaws and doesn't always engage people in the real issues that we believe that God is concerned with. And so I think the emerging conversation is a conversation that seeks to discover how we can become effective agents of the kingdom of God in the world, and recognizing that that is what the church is meant to be, and that the church is meant to be equipping people to be agents of God's kingdom in the world. And by that I mean agents of reconciliation and healing of this world. And I think far too often the church has been about building buildings. It's been about bringing people into our membership and into our buildings, and has not always been about sending people out into the world to be Christ in the world. And I've just recently been reminded in our post-Easter discussions, as we looked at, I was quite deeply challenged by the words of Jesus when he met with his disciples in the upper room just after his resurrection and said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And I think that for me is what we're seeking to discover in the emerging church, as we're seeking to discover what it is that God sent Jesus into the world for, and then seeking to be true to being agents of that, to continue the work that Christ has begun. And so I think that for me kind of sums it up. But it's huge. It's an ongoing discussion, and there are lots of different nuances to it.
Mm. Now, I think one of the things, Stephen, that you mentioned is that in some contexts, the Christian church is struggling to maintain traction, if I can put it that way. We're seeing certainly in very secular contexts like in Britain, France, Italy, and even to some extent in the northern parts of North America, you know, Washington, Seattle, New York, and even in some sectors in South Africa, in some of the larger cities, that denominations, churches, not just mainline denominations, but church groupings are struggling to maintain their membership. So people are leaving churches, and some are leaving churches because they're leaving the faith. Mm-hmm. And some are leaving churches because they're joining other kinds of things, cell groups, marketplace ministries, affinity kind of groups. Just in a nutshell, what do you think some of the common things are that people are feeling dissatisfied with in the ways in which we do church in society?
Yeah, I've been kind of following this pattern for quite a while. In the early 1990s and possibly even before that, but particularly in the early 90s, I began to observe this trend that you're talking about. And in fact, what I've discovered more than anything is not so much that people are leaving the church, in inverted commas, and I mean by that I mean the institution, the building, because they're losing faith in God, but because they're losing faith in what that institution stands for, and what it's become. And I think that by and large, we have the institution has sought to maintain itself and its membership, and has not necessarily been able to focus on the mission of God in the world, in and for the world. And people are frustrated with that. So people are frustrated when the church is more concerned about what color we're going to paint the walls, and where we're going to put the toilets, and things like that, than about the people in the world who are dying, people who are struggling to live the way that God intends for us to live. And so I began to observe a trend in the 90s of people who call themselves spiritual but not religious. And I think that sums up what folk are leaving. They're leaving religious or institutionalized religion, and seeking instead to explore spirituality, which is about our relationship with God. And while, you know, buildings may be a part of that, and while maintenance and maintaining membership in particular may be a part of that, I think we're moving into a time where folk are less concerned about membership and more concerned about being God or God's people in the world.
I mean, that's a very, very challenging thing, and I don't think that there's a single institution, Christian institution in the world that doesn't wrestle with that balance, because really that's what it is. I mean, in South Africa in particular, one of the things that strikes me is that we do still have a very healthy church, and using church in this sense to refer to congregations. I mean, you'll find churches on most street corners, and on a Sunday morning people are inside and they're happy to be there, and many people are blessed, and the churches are offering something that helps people there to find meaning in their lives. Do you know, the one thing that strikes me is that even is changing. I recently was in England, and just to see how the average age of church attendance has increased. And, you know, that struck me particularly when I was speaking with my daughter at school. You know, in her class, there are only two children that go to church. In the class in which she is, and one of them goes to church because her dad's a minister, and that's me, and the other one goes to church because the parents are quite committed. But it alarms me to think that out of a class of 30 kids, only two are going to church, and that speaks to me of the fact that perhaps the church is not reaching people where they are. It's not drawing something out of them that they may need and not be aware of, or it's not meeting the needs that they know they're aware of.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the problem is that we use that kind of terminology. We say people are not going to a church, and I think that's part of the problem with the church, is that the church has had, for particularly the last 500 years, but maybe even longer than that, this kind of "if we build it, they will come" mentality, instead of realizing that it's about sending, and not necessarily building. And so, while you may find that in your daughter's class, that only two go to church, you may find, as you've said, that many of those of the folk are involved in other expressions of church that are not necessarily about a congregation somewhere, but that may be less formal. And I think that's what we're finding. Folk, as you said, getting together in small groups, home churches springing up, and also just folk gathering around their interests, and finding a connection there, and seeking to find God there. And I think we've done God a disservice by limiting God to only working within the building of a church for an hour on a Sunday morning, as an example. Instead of saying, and I think that's what the emerging church is seeking, instead of saying, "I am the church 24/7, 365 days of the year, all the time. I am the church. We are the church." And so when we say folk aren't attending church, it's because we're concerned about numbers, we're concerned about membership, and we're not as concerned about the transforming power of the gospel of Christ. That power that transforms individual lives and that transforms communities. And I think that's what folk are looking for. They're looking for something that transforms their lives and that through that transforms communities.
I like that. So something that can really transform their lives and transform communities. Now, you know, the thing that strikes me as I listen to you speaking is that there's actually not that much that's contentious about this emerging conversation. I think perhaps some of the stuff that I find concerning or threatening about it is the fact that it's presenting a model of being together with other Christians and of following Christ that's not centralized around the buildings of a church necessarily. And that's quite a big paradigm shift for someone like myself. It's quite a challenging thing to think that, well, perhaps there may be a time in 60 or 70 years where people don't gather together in 300-400 people groups to sing songs of worship and to celebrate the sacraments. Steve, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that we're moving beyond that, or do you think that there will always be a place for the kind of community that most of us are accustomed to being a part of as Christians?
I think there probably will always be that kind of gathering of the masses, so to speak. But I think that what's going to happen, or what I'm hoping will happen, maybe is, and what those of us in the emerging conversation are hoping will happen is that doesn't become the central focus of everything that we do. That all that it is a gathering together, a celebration of the rest of our lives. In whereas at the moment that's become the focal point, and that's what it's all about. But I think we also need to understand that we need to, and I would almost want to say redefine community, but I don't think we need to redefine community. I think we need to rediscover true community and what it really means, and discover that community is not limited to, and that, you know, I'm saying limited to, a gathering of 100 people or 200 people or 1,000 people for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours at a particular time, at a particular place. But that true community, it can be a much smaller thing. And I think that the world we live in at the moment is craving that kind of community. We live in such a disconnected world. People crave connection. And I don't think they find it at a mass gathering of hundreds of people for an hour. They find it in a smaller gathering, one-on-one, where you can sit down and really find one another. And I think that's what people crave.
Stephen, it'd be interesting for me to hear from you one or two creative and interesting models that you are aware of how some of these emerging groupings, emerging churches are forming themselves and engaging in ministry. I would love for the folks who are listening, particularly, you know, some of them are obviously pastors and priests, and some of the folks who are listening are moms and dads at home, people at work, people in their cars. What ideas and thoughts can you share with our listeners that can help them to begin to think about being church creatively?
I need to just say that, you know, first off, I'm certainly no kind of expert in terms of emerging church. I don't consider myself a leader within this discussion. I'm really just a follower of the discussion, and an observer and a dreamer in a sense. I have seen some creative expressions. I know, for example, of a couple of groups here in Cape Town who meet together, just as an example, who meet together for breakfast once a month or once a week. And at the breakfast, they might have a speaker or a topic, and they chat informally around issues, issues that are real to them. So they will seek to say, these are the things I'm struggling with in my life. These are the things that the world is struggling with. How do I engage this as a Christ follower? And so it'll be informal discussions rather than formal gatherings. I know of many house churches that are popping up, and you know, just a gathering of friends getting together in a, again, very informal way, where the kids are able to kind of run free and not have to sit and keep quiet and be bored out of their minds. I know of some of my friends that are involved in different expressions of worship. So using multimedia, just as an example, and VJing, video jockeying. So taking video images and putting them together with music, kind of like the old DJ would have done at the club, taking music and mixing it. They mix videos, and the videos take the place of a formal sermon, and then they would say, now, you know, what has that said to me about God, my relationship with God, and how does it affect me and my ability to follow Christ more effectively and be an agent of the kingdom in the world. So those are just, I know some who gather around, and this is, you know, maybe where the controversy comes in, who gather around a poker table and play poker for the poor. And instead of it being about gambling and being about the money, they play poker for fun, and the proceeds of the money go to the poor instead of going to line my pocket or somebody else's pocket. You know, and others who just gather, surfers who will go out for a surf, and when they come back onto the beach, gather together, pray together, chat together, and seek to discover again an authentic spirituality in their everyday lives. Just some examples that I can think of.
I mean, those are all wonderfully creative examples. And the thing that strikes me about all of those is that they seem to have three sort of common elements that run through them. The one common element is trying to rediscover the presence of God in all of life, not Amen. Just in yep. sacred life. So not just in the church service or in the pew. It's rediscovering God around the poker table. Exactly. I mean, if God can't be there, that's terrible. It's just rediscovering God, you know, out on the sports field or wherever it may be in the business place. So that's one theme that seems to run through. Mm. The second theme is, it sounds to me very much like a lot of the expressions that we are seeing in the emergent movement are trying to help people to rediscover their purpose, their Christian purpose in real life. Mm. So not just their Christian purpose as a member of a church, like being a Sunday school teacher in their church or serving as an elder in their church, but how do I become a God-honoring parent?
That's it, exactly.
By being part of the PTA, or how do I become a God-honoring friend by supporting or a God-honoring employee by doing things in my business life? So that's the second thing. And then I think the third thing that I'm hearing you say is that it's trying to break down some of the separation that we've created between faith and life, which really says, you know, faith is every aspect of life. It's not only when life is going well or life is going bad. Faith needs to be a part of all of life.
Absolutely. I think some of the key terms that are used when we talk about emerging church are relational. One of the key words is relational, and that's what it is. There's and communal, and obviously those two go together, and then, you know, some of the other words that go with it are missional, which really speaks about discovering God's mission and being a part of God's mission of restoring all creation, of reconciling all things to himself or to God's self through Christ, as we read in Colossians. And so it's seeking to do that. One of the other words that's used very often is post-colonial. And where the controversy comes in is postmodern, and I think that's very often misunderstood. I think some of the critics see the emerging movement as buying into post-modernity, when in fact I see it more as a reaction to modernism. Our current church is so deeply entrenched in modernity and Enlightenment thinking that I think we struggle in the church to separate Enlightenment thinking, what's been labeled as modernity, and pre-modernity, and what is true gospel. So we look back at Christ through the lens of the last 2,000 years of church history, instead of looking at Christ through Old Testament eyes, which, you know, that's the where Christ came out of, that Christ was steeped in that. And so the move towards post-modernity is to say we need to move beyond modernity. We need to move beyond the last 500 years of church history. And that's not to say we throw it out, you know, the baby out of the bathwater, but we need to recognize that there's more to church and our understanding of church than the last 500 years alone.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing that I'm hearing today is that one must always strive to be creative, and one must always strive to find creative ways of bringing the love of Jesus to bear on every person in every situation. And that's something that's going to change from age to age and time to time. Of course, the reality is that there have been some folks who've really gone off at a tangent. Mm. And so we always do encourage our listeners to be discerning, to consider what is happening around them, and always to seek wise counsel and advice, and to be prayerfully engaged with bringing renewal to their own lives and to the lives of others. But I think the central message that I've heard from you today, Stephen, is that there is a need for a fresh expression of being a Christian believer. Mm. It's been wonderful to have you with me today. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Dion. There's probably a lot more that I want to say, but maybe just to encourage folk that I think the last thing that we're saying is that you definitely can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. So don't go it alone. We need community, and I think what you're saying is wise. Be discerning. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Well, folks, if you'd like to drop us a line, you're welcome to do so. You can send me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion at gmail.com. And if you'd like to contact the Radio Pulpit offices, you can also get hold of our counseling line there. You can phone 012-334-1200. That's 012 Pretoria 334-1200. Well, thanks for listening in on The Ministry and Me. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster, and it's been wonderful to spend this half hour with you. May the Lord bless you this week. Goodbye.